This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. The show is brought to you by EMP 180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area, emp180weightloss.com. Joining us right now, the head coach of the Washington Capitals, got a 3-2 win against Columbus last night. It's Coach Barry Trotz, who's driven by Lindsay Lexus of Alexandria, a fabulous facility, top-line customer service, and an amazing selection, the ultimate hat trick at the only Lexus dealer inside the Beltway, Lindsay Lexus of Alexandria. You'll love it at Lindsay. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning.
Nice win.
I heard you talking about the penalty kill and how the penalty kill had been struggling the last couple of games and commitment. Tell us what you meant by that. Obviously, it was better last night.
Well, I think commitment in a lot of areas, especially in the penalty kill, it's a little bit of a mindset. It's, obviously you're at a disadvantage having one less player on the ice. So there's times when you're going to have to, throw yourself at a little bit of harm's way, block a shot. We say chew on a puck sometimes. And I just felt that we made a couple of slight adjustments in terms of systematically what we do, but I thought the commitment in all those areas are real huge. Understanding pressure points when you have a loose puck, sort of the one go, we all go mentality with aggressiveness. I like that fact. We were a lot better and a lot more trusting of each other last night. So we had two huge penalty kills at the end of the game. And hopefully that gives us a little confidence going forward.
Coach Trotz, do you like the home and home format where you just played in Columbus last night? Your next home game is against the Blue Jackets on Friday. It's almost like a mini playoff series. And with less than 30 games to go in the regular season, kind of a tune-up for the postseason.
Yeah, I really don't mind it. We've had a couple of those this year where we've played the same team within a few days. To me, what it does is it gets you ready for the playoffs, because in the playoffs you'll play. We played last night in Columbus. We had certain things that we did systematically, certain things that we look for that we maybe could expose. They're going to look at the film. We're going to look at the film. And we're both probably going to make some slight adjustments in our next meeting. So that's sort of what happens in the playoffs. So you're right. When you play those back-to-backs against the same team, you can make those slight adjustments just like you would in the playoffs. So it's really getting us ready for that.
Coach, one of your marquee players is near a career milestone. Ovi's at 590 goals at this point. Only 19 players in NHL history have over 600. Another hit one last night. Backstrom hits 200 career goals in dramatic fashion, under 43 seconds left in the game. He's the fifth Caps player to score 200 goals in a Caps uniform. You're just a witness to all sorts of Caps history at this point.
I really am. I've been very fortunate. Hopefully Ovi can continue to keep going. I saw his 500th goal, and hopefully I'm around to see his 600th goal. And then getting to see Nick Backstrom do what he does so well in terms of playmaking and his chemistry with Ovi, and getting his 200th goal, game-winning goal, says a lot about Backy. Backy's a guy that really comes through in the clutch, and he did last night just as Ovi does. So seeing those two players in particular, it's really refreshing to see them reach some milestones, and incredibly reach those milestones in the as few games as they have. And you start thinking about all the players that names start coming up that they've passed or they're catching up, and they've done it in such a short period of time.
Coach, last year we were lauding the fact that the goal scoring was more balanced with Oshie and Ovi tied at 33 goals at season's end. Do you worry about the gap between Ovi and the rest of your goal scorers this year with Ovi so much past the next highest goal scorer on the team?
I don't say I'm worried about it. I just feel if we get a little more balance through our lineup. I mean, I feel we're going to have a lot of those. We're going to have a few 20-goal scorers. We're going to have a lot of those 10 to 15-goal scorers where I think in the past we've had, you know, there are 20-goal scorers and then, you know, we get past the top six and have a drop-off. I think we're going to see that we're going to have a lot more contributions, and the contributions are coming at the right time. You know, a guy like Chandler Stephenson, who hadn't scored in a while, he's starting to score and believing he can score in this league. A guy like Jake Fron, I had a lot of success early. Hopefully we can get him back on track and get him back on that 20-goal pace. A guy like Brent Connolly's almost matched last year's goal total, and he's still got, you know, 30 games. So I think, yeah, just everybody's, if they can hit their stride in the last 30 games versus maybe the first, like in the past, maybe we peak at the right time.
Coach, what do we do about, you know, kind of the slow start thing, something that's plagued the Caps, you know, at times? I mean, I know if you knew the answer, you'd solve it, but it, right? It's, that's a tough one to get out from behind come playoff time, obviously.
It really is. It's something that, trust me, we've spoke a lot about it. I think we've only, in our last 10 or 11 games, we've only scored once. We also are probably one of the top teams in the league of winning games after we've given up the first goal. But you are absolutely 100% correct that come playoff time, that's a different animal. So that's something that we've got 30 games to see if we can jump on teams early. Hopefully if we can start Friday night, get on teams early. I know our record traditionally in the last, you know, 3-4 years when we score first, it's been outstanding. So we need to do that. I think our ability to come back has been outstanding this year, but I'd rather be a front runner than trying to have to, you know, chase the game and catch up all the time.
Talking to Coach Barry Trotz in the Washington Capitals, they get the 3-2 win against Columbus last night, remain atop the Metro Division. You know, you talked about some of the guys heating it up, whether it's Stevenson or Connolly. A couple weeks ago, TJ Oshie, who of course signed a huge contract in the offseason, has been one of your key players, had this long scoreless streak. I don't remember how many games it was. What is it about guys like that that will get in a slump like that? Is it just a fluky thing when they're a really good player like TJ Oshie?
Well, I think a combination of a few things. I mean, Osh came back from an injury, and there's always what you see when guys come back from injury. They're either get hot real early, or they just, you know, they actually go cold. And I think Osh has played, he plays really hard. He gives you everything he's got every night. And he started getting a little bit snake bitten. He had some really good chances, wasn't able to convert. And then he starts playing into their mind. And what was happening, I talked to TJ, not yesterday, but the day before. And he would pass up on shots. He's looking because, you know, you feel like, hey, I'm not hitting the net. I'm not getting, you know, I'm not hitting my spot when I shoot the puck. I'm going to pass it. And he started passing a lot more than they're probably shooting, and then it sort of snowballs. You don't get the chances. Maybe your line's not going really well. You just sort of lose a little bit of that belief in yourself. And I think last night I thought TJ was outstanding. And the last couple of games, I think he's getting back to, you know, those chances and the confidence and that, all the things that make TJ really special. So, yeah, it's difficult. Sometimes you get hot, sometimes you get cold, and some of these top guys, especially the very talented ones like TJ, they'll pass the puck up a little bit more.
Coach, it was quite a night for Whip Tom Wilson. He goes toe-to-toe with Josh Anderson, punked him on his home ice, dropped him with a right punch to the temple, and, oh, by the way, he beat Bobrovsky 5-hole for the Caps' second goal of the night, first goal in 13 games for Willie. You have to like what you saw from him last night.
Yeah, no, Willie was a beast last night. I mean, you talk about a player that's tough to play against. You talk about a guy that will stick up for his teammates. I think Anderson took a run at Backstrom, and the first guy over there was Tom. And yeah, when Tom punked him a little bit there, that energized our bench. And he was outstanding. I mean, Tom's such a he's one of our leaders. He's one of obviously the most physical guys in the league, and his game keeps growing. You know, his defensive game has grown. His ability to get around the ice, he's still physical. And now he's starting to find the back of the net a little bit more. He's going to, if he stays healthy, he's going to have an absolute career year for himself. So he just keeps growing, and he's one of those guys that is invaluable to your team. He may not get the 40 goals every year, but I'll tell you what, if he's not in the lineup, we're a different hockey team.
Holtz was awesome last night, too. Turned away 37 shots in the win. He's now tied for third in wins. He's got 27. His save percentage and GAA don't jump out at you. Do you and the coaching staff do any, like, real deep analytical dives into his metrics? Or as long as the wins keep piling up, those stats don't really influence what you guys do?
Yeah, no, we do. We dive into the analytic part. Obviously, we've had a lot of changes in our team, especially on the back end. And you know, the quality of chances are a little bit higher this year. So his numbers are good. Just the, some of the, you're used to seeing a 924 save percentage type thing. So he hasn't had as many shutouts. And that's probably more team related than it is individual related. We've had a lot of growth on our team, especially on the back end. But we're not as veteran and as talented as we were back there in the past, and that we're getting closer to where we want to get. Holtz, I think that the key to goaltending, and a good example, Grant Fuhr always said he didn't care what his goals against was or his save percentage, but could he make the key saves? And I think that's been the thing this year, that Braden's been able to make the key saves at the key times, and the numbers aren't quite the same, but he's still making still a difference maker for us.
I heard you talking about this after the game too, and that's quality of shots. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? Because when you look at total shots, sometimes you guys may lose in that category by 15, 20 total shots, but they're not necessarily the quality.
Yeah. The game has changed a little bit where I think, the analytic community, especially the goaltending community, has really researched this really hard, where, in fact, they put percentages on quality of shots. For instance, a shot taken by a defenseman from the point has a 1% chance of going in in our league right now with goaltenders.
1%.
Wow. 1% of every shot. So, if you have traffic, it goes to 3% from a point shot. If you can get yourself in between, say, the top of the circles and between the face-off dots in that sort of area, if you can create a shot from there, it jumps up to like a 12%. And if you get it lower, it goes to like 30%. And if you get a goal mouth pass, it goes to almost 60%. So I'd rather have one of those 12% Then take 12 shots from the point and maybe have a chance to get a goal where I like the odds. So the analytic community and the goaltending community have really dived into this and just throwing volume of pucks. What you'll see in the trend in the league, the team that probably has the highest shot percentage, Carolina, I think Columbus is up there. You look at their goals per game average, they're all at the bottom of the league. Teams that have shot less, they seem to have the ability to have a higher goals per game in the league. And that's not all through all teams, but a lot of teams that struggle to score throw volumes of pucks. And the volumes of pucks, those percentages are low, and therefore they don't get as many. And that's sort of old school thinking in terms of, you think about every coach, probably in the last 50 years, you heard, hey, we got to get more pucks than that, more traffic. That is true. You still have to have traffic. You still got to get, some more pucks. But where you get those pucks to the net are probably more important than anything that sort of trumps everything else.
Coach Trotz, we know you do lots of great work with Best Buddies. Listeners can go to bestbuddies.org for more info. And you've got some high-profile companies spreading the word on Best Buddies, with Cindy Crawford and Maria Shriver as global ambassadors for the cause. It's good company, Coach.
Not bad. They're not bad. Best Buddies is a great organization. They got so many great programs for anybody with intellectual disabilities. They've done a lot of programs lately where they're growing is the adult program. So please check it out. It's a great organization, and you won't regret it. It's making a difference for the lives of people with disabilities and people without. So please check it out.
Coach Trotz, thanks as always. Rest up a bit, and best of luck Friday night at home against the Blue Jackets. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Take care, guys.
Yep. All right. Thanks, thank you, Coach. Too, buddy.
Interesting how an older school coach has embraced analytics.
Sure.
Yeah,
hey, if it gives you an edge and other teams are doing it, why wouldn't you?
I should know this, but is he in his last year of his contract?
I don't know.
I think so.
I'm not sure.
I think so.
I mean,
it was a lot of pressure, too, and a lot of people thought early on the way the season started that he was going to be real close to dead man walking.
If he wins another division, can't let him go.
I don't think so.
Right?
How could you?
Although, you know, we are getting to that point now where everyone just wants more. You know what I mean? Like, it becomes less about that, and he knows that. You know what I mean?
That's true. I guess it kind of depends on what they do in the postseason.
I Googled if the NHL playoffs started today, what are the matchups? Caps would face the Flyers in the first round.
Wow.
No, there's 28 or 29
yeah,
days.
Yeah, yeah,
lots
yeah.
can change.
It'll be someone
and
like that.
And in the second
though.
Round, probably the Penguins.
Most likely the Penguins who are surging.
Right.
That's great. Right. It's going to be an awesome
and
spring.
And we know who's going to win that series.
Well, history tells you it's not the team that I like. It's not the team that I'm wearing the beanie for. Not the good guys.
All right, phone number's 800-636-1067. Remember, game show Wednesday at 9 o'clock. Give you a chance to win some great prizes, including $50 gift certificates for Pro Flowers and Sherry's Berries. That's huge for Valentine's Day. Coming up next, we'll open up the entertainment page here on The Junkies.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You hear the music. We get right into it, the entertainment page. Try to brief you on what's going on in the world of Hollywood and entertainment.
Nothing better than crispy bacon from Bethesda Bagels.
Gotta thank Bethesda Bagels. I'm going to tweet a picture of, you know, what he brings me now lately. Oh, look at all that beautiful salmon and whitefish.
It's delicious.
You know, I don't have it on a bagel. I put it in a little lettuce, make a little lettuce wrap of it, throw in some bacon. God, it's so good.
They have a new spot right near Navy Yard. Go check it out.
Wow.
It's right there, buddy.
Yep.
They couldn't be any nicer to us, so thank you. So yesterday, I admitted this earlier in the show, I didn't follow the SpaceX thing. You know, I'm not a huge Elon Musk guy.
Right.
But, you know, I don't even know. What's he do? Rent space from NASA or something and uses the Kennedy whatever?
I couldn't tell you. I don't know the arrangement.
Now, how does he do that?
But, you just roll up with a big bag of cash and say, you know what? I need your launch pad today.
Yeah.
How does that work? Something into space.
So I guess, you know, publicity stunt. Obviously, you're blasting a Tesla into space. What I saw, I thought the big accomplishment from what I read was that he those two rocket boosters, they were able to kind of reuse those because they came back and they landed nicely sort of on the pad. That was pretty incredible to see that. What is the idea with the car now, Drabby? It's not going to come anywhere near approaching Mars, is it?
No. Well, first of all, I think it was just a bit to shoot. Shoot the car out there was just a bit.
Yeah, publicity stunt.
And now he's trying to
track. But does it have like a bunch of cameras associated with it to get these incredible images like for the next couple of years? Or
no,
what's the idea?
I think that's finished. I think it was just for the live stream yesterday that millions of people were watching.
Okay.
Elon Musk came out this morning and said, I think I overshot Mars, so now it's going someplace else.
So they've already lost connection.
How would it transmit the images back?
But every expert saying that it's going to get smashed by rocks in the next.
Of course
it's
going to
disintegrate in the next year. Radiation will pummel it.
Really?
I think you were into it yesterday.
Oh, so into it.
A lot of people were into it.
Dude, that was some incredible shots.
I saw so many Falcon Heavy references on my Twitter.
Can you send me some of the incredible shots? Because all I saw really was the launch, and then I saw the video of the rocket boosters landing back on the pad, which that's pretty incredible. I don't know how the hell they did it.
At the exact same time.
You know what, Elon Musk, if you want to do something incredible, how about you make your cars affordable? How about you do that? That would be pretty incredible. Instead of wasting your money blasting cars into outer space.
And my buddy always told me he's always considered getting a Tesla.
You know,
he likes the idea of it. But that, you know, once that battery goes bad.
Right.
He says of a few years ago, I think he told me it would be like $20,000 to replace the battery.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, but they look so nice on the road.
Okay. But
I'm not saying I ever buy one. I'm saying
maybe,
they just
do they have a lease program? Maybe people will lease them.
Don't know. I'm not sure they do.
Never looked into it.
All I know
I would assume they do.
I am jealous of Danny's deal where Danny's got some sort of weird hybrid where he's literally been to the gas station five times
in
the last year.
He plugs his car in.
He's been to the gas station five times in a year. I go every minimum once a week. That's a bare minimum. JP probably goes like twice a week.
I go like four times a week.
I like my fossil fuel burning Jeep Grand Cherokee from Farish. Right. I love my vehicle.
I like to be a fossil fuel burning guy too.
Yes.
But I wouldn't mind a little battery associated with it that's doing some heavy lifting.
I see what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
For around the way. But anyway.
By the way, when I go to the gas station, my aim is $20. But if I don't. If I don't hook it right on the $20 mark,
yeah,
it goes to $20.01. I get bitter. I got to go to $25.
Oh, you got OCD.
You don't fill it up.
That's an OCD bit.
He doesn't fill it. He does a Rich Frazier. He does a stumper.
That's the worst ever.
You didn't realize that? I've been saying that for years.
You have to fill it up.
Who wants to go to the
gas station? You have to take more trips to the gas station.
It's just my thing. So if it's $20.01 or $20.02, I get bitter. I go.
He also goes to
$25. I have to have it on an even number.
I see.
You're seriously stuck in 1991.
Yes.
I wish it was 1991 again. Mm. Look at this.
By the way, I think I have about $93 in my Get Upside Gas app account.
Very nice.
It's piling up. It's piling up. Save money every time I fill up.
You think this guy in the Tesla is listening to satellite radio? Or?
He's going to pick up George Clooney. He's floating around
there. Yeah,
if so, he's getting good reception from that satellite.
Like certainly is.
Dude, I read something. I know nothing about science. I know nothing about anything. But that apparently every 200,000 years, the polarity of our poles switches.
I saw something about that, too.
I'm dumb. Apparently, that hasn't happened. It happens every 200,000 years on average. I don't know how the F they figured that out.
Right.
But they did. It hasn't happened, apparently, in 800,000 years.
Oh, so we're way past due?
Way past the due date on that.
So we're about to get tilted?
So does that mean our toilet water will flow a different way?
I don't know. But that some people, of course, fear-mongers are saying it could be catastrophic. So I don't know what it means, but the polarity between the north and south, it just swaps out.
So Niagara Falls is going to go up?
Yeah. I don't know what it means.
Does that mean your sunglasses that are polarized get pummeled?
Maybe it does.
I don't know.
Maybe the Caps will finally win the Stanley Cup.
But I believe that was an AP story that I saw, and I started reading it, and I got scared, and then I stopped. I just said, well, it's just a fear-mongering article.
It's a lot like when you see the story about,
right,
like an asteroid passes within, 80,000 miles of Earth, and people get all scared.
Well, they're probably for good reason.
Come on, it's 80,000 miles.
Right. Just don't hit Earth in the next 40 or so.
Yeah, we're good.
Then I'll be good.
Right.
Because I legit won't care when I'm dead. 100%
You might have Fitty left in you, though. I think that's a long 98.
98.
That's a long.
That's really pushing.
Long
it.
Shot. Just call it what it is. Long shot.
So hurting, just to have that hourglass. Just, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the sand is just dripping through it every single day, every
so
single
little
second.
Sand left.
Yeah, it's half done. Pretty much. If you're lucky.
Best Buy is pulling all CDs from their stores. Finally, Cakes,
yeah,
and apparently people are freaking out.
Who's freaking out? 90-year-olds?
I don't know. People still buy CDs. When was the last time you bought a legit CD?
Ooh.
Oh.
I think it's probably been about 5 years.
I'll be honest. I think the last physical CD I bought was...
I think it's been 20.
I think it was Death Magnetic by Metallica. Hmm. And that came out... Thom Daly, give me a thumbs up on this. 8 or 9 years ago.
I know, Cakes, you or I
Something
think
like
we
that.
Bought one of the good, I know I bought one of the Good Charlotte CDs, one of their more recent ones, the hard copy. Somehow I got my hands on that.
I bought a few of their recent singles, but I have not bought a GC physical CD in a while. It's been a while. So, I think the last one I actually got was a freebie at HFS with the anthem and all those sillies.
I noticed Target still had it, but apparently they're dramatically reducing their inventory also. I just don't know who's buying these anymore.
What's the point? I mean, it's taking up valuable shelf space.
The one point is that I guess if you're just an Apple devotee and everything you do is Apple, that you'll have it sort of in your iTunes forever. But if you're an Android person and you switch phones every few years, you can lose track of your music that you purchased.
Should I?
If you're not careful.
Should I abandon my iPod Shuffle that I use on my sporadic runs? God, I feel like a nubber.
Well, if you're upgrading the music, it's fine.
I haven't been upgrading the music.
So you're still listening to tunes from like 10 years ago?
Yeah, good 7 to 10 year range on the iPod.
Right.
By the way, reading
needs a refresher
quickly on polarity reversal.
Right.
The one thing which jumped out at me, it doesn't seem like they know exactly
what would
if there will be weather changes, but birds won't fly north anymore.
I can't believe this
they'll fly
is
south.
To me.
I guess so.
They would fly north because usually
they fly south
in the winter.
Sorry.
So does that mean Florida would be butt cold?
Unless you're in the southern hemisphere, right? If you're a bird in Australia,
by the way,
don't you fly north?
What are the silly geese?
Does that mean Canada would be silly warm?
Yeah,
and Florida
I guess.
Would be butt cold?
Sure.
No.
Just like here in the United States.
No. That wouldn't change because
wouldn't
it's all
change.
About the equator.
Okay, sure. If you say so, I believe you.
By the way, what are the silly Canadian geese that are still hanging around this area? What are they doing? What are they waiting for? Why haven't they flown more south? I see geese all over the place. Usually they fly south for the winter.
Maybe because it's been unseasonably warm. It hasn't really been that cold around here. It's been a few moments.
They're the lazy ones. They're the lazy ones.
The lazy
geese. They just don't feel like flying.
They're the squeakers. They don't want to pay for the condos and oceanfront.
Maybe that's what it is.
ESPN, Valdez, you're big into cord cutting and everything. You can help explain this. They're coming out with their streaming service this spring for $4.99. This apparently will enable people to access ESPN any way imaginable. So that means you don't have to have it on your cable or whatever for $4.99. You can just stream it on your computer or your Apple TV.
Yeah, but the problem is
what's the problem?
Is if you like say you have an Apple TV and you already have Verizon, you're able to log in with your Verizon account and watch ESPN through the app that way. So I'm not sure if they're going to charge on top of that or not. Or just have it be separate for people who want ESPN content.
They just find different ways to get.
I think
your
it's
money.
Just another way to get money from you. Yeah. If you already have a way to access it, that's fine.
But I think if you're cutting the cord full on and you want ESPN, you can just stream it to your phone or whatever device you have. Right,
right?
But you're a full on cord cutter, right?
Yeah, but let's say you're a Valparaiso fan, all right, and they play on ESPN3, mm-hmm. So you can't watch it on TV. You have to go to the app to watch Valparaiso play.
Right.
All right.
How many Valpo fans?
Right, I'm just thinking of a Nubs.
But you can nub it to your TV either through the Apple whatever.
Yeah, but you're going to have to pay $4.99 a month to watch that through the ESPN service.
Mm-hmm.
It's your money. You pay for
it. The one thing I will say, so I watch a lacrosse game.
But you could do it for free now is say if you're a Verizon subscriber.
Well, I'm sure you could probably still do that.
Maybe well, they might charge you on top of it for the streaming service.
Okay.
Just like SiriusXM. They charge you $10 a month to use the app and also whatever it is for in your car.
If you think eventually that you're not going to end up paying the same amount you were paying 20 years ago.
Well, it's getting that way because they're starting to nickel and dime you so much.
They have to be able to make money.
Are you a total?
You just want free, free, free.
Are you a total cord cutter?
Yeah. I don't have cable.
How long has that been?
2 years.
But
really?
But here's the thing, Valdez. They need to make money. They just can't have everybody get stealing free. Then you're going to have no channel.
I know that.
Right. So you're going to have to pay. And eventually they're going to figure out the way that you're getting all your free stuff.
Speaking of paying.
And you're going to end up paying.
I pay for Showtime, and it's going to pay off this Sunday
when
Homeland returns.
Oh, is it this Sunday?
Yes!
Okay. What time?
Ricky? I think it's 9
p.m. 9 o'clock? All right.
9 o'clock.
My other show, The Shy, is coming back because it was off for the Super Bowl week. So I got Homeland and The Shy to watch.
Here's the question
I know
you sleep.
I have for you, Valdez. So I like to watch some lacrosse that's only streamed, right? A lot of it's on ESPN.
Right.
So I wanted to watch this game this weekend. It was the Navy, whatever the hell it was, Navy-Jacksonville game. Jacksonville
upset Navy. Was Pedro calling it?
Might have been.
He calls like every Navy event ever.
Is Jalen Ramsey silly on attack?
So the problem is on my computer, it was silly. But when I did the dumb AirPlay thing to my big TV in the family room, it was I don't know, what's
choppy,
the word? Choppy?
Laggy?
It wasn't quite laggy.
Maybe
but
your
it
Wi-Fi
wasn't smooth.
Maybe your Wi-Fi is hurting.
Well, I don't know that that has any. No, because on my computer, watching it on my Wi-Fi, it was silly.
It could be the bit rate in your TV. It's not.
You need more bits.
It's just doesn't match.
It's
what,
not the Bluetooth connection.
It's most likely not, but it has to do with your TV and the inputs that you have it on.
I got to tell you, I've never been more interested in a discussion on the show.
Well, it is the future. So you've never, knowing you, you probably haven't. You've never, like, airplayed anything from your computer to your television.
No.
Neither
I think the only person who's done that has been
Valdez
when he's at my house.
Well, I think most people with it. Well, you don't really have a lot of Apple
products.
Did
you do that when you were at my house?
No, iPads.
No, because I don't think you have an Apple TV.
I don't either.
No, I don't. You're right.
You can deal with a Chromecast.
Jason thought that he didn't have to pay for internet because he had a modem. Wasn't that it?
No,
he didn't have to pay for internet because he has Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I don't.
He doesn't understand.
It's totally free.
Yeah. Drabop brought up a good point. He didn't know how to cut, copy, and paste on his computer.
That's right. I mean,
I know.
I've just.
You're stuck in.
I'm stuck.
I'm speaking 1982.
It works
for you, though.
I'm basically
very happy.
Exactly.
Speaking Swahili.
Yeah, but if you want to watch something, let's say your son plays lacrosse or something, you want to watch it on the big television. You know, a lot of that stuff is only online, so I would think you would learn how to do that.
Figure it out,
right?
You need to,
but it's not that great.
He doesn't need to.
But I'm saying the technology is not that great,
right?
Because it's
so you're
choppy.
Not that happy with it.
It's not perfect.
But you should really check your settings and make sure your settings are correct.
Okay.
All right, remember, it's Game Show Wednesday.
I hear you,
but, I mean, they're normal settings. Someone should tell you that. They're just on normal settings.
He's a defender of it. He's always going to be a defender.
Game Show Wednesday, we're going to play Junkerty at 9 o'clock. Already came up with four categories.
Hold on, Junkerty. How does that? Oh, we play
three questions.
Right. We haven't played that in a while.
So we'll do that coming up at 9 o'clock. But next, we'll talk some NBA. The Wizards lose last night, snapped their 5-game winning streak. John Wall had some interesting comments. We're going to talk to Andrew Sharp, covers the NBA for Sports Illustrated. Trade deadlines tomorrow. A lot of interesting stuff with Andrew Sharp next. Welcome back. Chucky's on 106 up in the Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow along on TV. Coming up at 9 o'clock, have some great prizes to give away, including $50 gift certificates for Pro Flowers and Sherry's Berries. Perfect for Valentine's Day. So we'll do that at 9 o'clock. But join us right now to talk some NBA. Andrew Sharp covers the NBA for Sports Illustrated. He's joining us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Good morning, Andrew.
What's going on? How you guys doing?
What's up, Andrew? Well, it's been an interesting last week. NBA-wise here in D.C. with all the whole Everybody Eats campaign and kind of subtle digs at John Wall. He went on TV yesterday, various interviews, trying to kind of squash that. But it seems like Marcin Gortat's a guy who now they're floating via trade. What have you heard?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that Gortat is in the mix at the deadline. It's not looking like they're going to be able to find a team to take his deal. He's due for $13 million next year, and that's going to be a tough sell around the league. And the Wizards are probably not going to include a pick in any of those deals because I think everybody wants to keep that first-round pick unless they're getting back someone who can help them make a run this year. But big picture, you're right. It's been a wild week in D.C., man. It's like people are taking shots at each other. There's locker room drama. It kind of feels like the good old days with the Wizards, except they're actually good now, which is a nice twist.
So if they were able to deal Gortat, what sort of haul would we expect? Or is it just to clear him off the books and get him out of the locker room?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the issues is Gortat. He's obviously lost a step or two over the last few years, but I think going forward, he's still decently valuable to the Wizards as a starter and certainly as a guy who can play 25 minutes a game. And they're not going to be able to get back someone to replace him. One of the deals that's been discussed is potentially sending him to the Clippers with Kelly Oubre and a first-round pick and maybe Jason Smith and trying to bring back DeAndre Jordan. But that's looking increasingly unrealistic. And part of the problem is that DeAndre Jordan is trying to opt out of his deal this summer, and he's going to be pretty expensive, and the Wizards probably can't afford to sign him if they trade for him. And so beyond DeAndre, there just aren't many options where you can get rid of Gortat's salary and bring back someone who's actually going to help keep them afloat this year.
But, Andrew, isn't that kind of like dinosaur thinking by Ernie or any other GM that would deal away a young, versatile piece in Oubre that could be a part of your nucleus for 5 to 7 years to acquire a one-dimensional big that can't shoot? That doesn't make any sense.
They can block, you know, shots, and he can rebound.
Yeah. I've heard that criticism a lot, and I think you could definitely criticize various other moves that Ernie has made over the last 5 or 6 years. The Mahinmi deal is pretty tough. The Mahinmi deal has not aged well. However, DeAndre Jordan is much better than Mahinmi, and I think that he's the type of guy who would really help their defense. And one of the problems this year has been that the front court is just really rough on defense, and it's hard to have a good defense if your centers can't move very well and can't protect the rim, and that's been an issue for the Wizards for the last couple of years. Giving up Oubre would be really tough, and the 3 months of DeAndre Jordan is not worth it. However, Oubre is going to be very expensive to keep, probably, and given the money that they're already giving to Otto Porter and Bradley Beal and John Wall, they're probably not going to be able to keep him. So the idea of optimizing his value now is not a bad one, but it's probably not going to come together with Jordan.
Do you think that the Eastern Conference is pretty wide open at this point, or do you consider the Cavaliers out of this mix because of everything that's happened with them?
I mean, look, this is the most wide open the East has been in the entire LeBron era, like the last 6 or 7 years. I can't remember a LeBron team looking shakier than the Cavs do right now. So that's part of what makes this season fun for the Wizards. I mean, it's been brutal at points, but they're still in it as much as anyone else is. And I think, look, the Cavs are always going to be in the mix as long as LeBron's healthy. But the Celtics have a pretty good shot. The Raptors have a pretty good shot. And then the Wizards have as much talent as Boston or Toronto. And in a playoff series, it would be sort of a toss-up with either one. So it's definitely going to be interesting as things move forward here.
What do you make of, just getting back to the Wizards for a moment, I'm obsessed with them. What do you make of sort of the drama behind the scenes, locker room stuff? I mean, obviously, I think we all assume that Gortat is a big part of that. The guy, you know, people talk about him subtweeting other people on social media, favoriting when people say he should get the ball more, he should get more shooting, that kind of thing. But then people have also had whispers about sort of John and Bradley's relationship. And, you know, we're not in there, so we don't know, even though we're local.
Yeah.
But I look for it on the court. I don't see any sign of it. They all seem to get along well, but clearly something isn't right in there. What is sort of the national perspective of it?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. Something isn't right, and the Gortat thing is sort of a separate issue because he's always been a little sensitive, and he's also sacrificed more than anyone else among those starters over the last few years. So I sort of understand where he's coming from, but he's also getting older and not as good as he used to be. So I understand both sides of it. But the Beal thing is interesting because I've talked to him a couple times about this, and he very clearly is loyal to John Wall and is a fan of John Wall. And I mean, every time I talk to him, I'm looking for signs of some sort of like secret problem, and it just doesn't seem to be there. And yet there's all kinds of whispers nationally, and I think as long as these two are together and not in making the Eastern Conference Finals or the Finals every year, there are going to be people who wonder whether there's a problem. But on court, we've definitely seen that the ball is moving better now than it has all year, and the Wizards are more enjoyable to watch than they have been all year. I mean, they were really pretty brutal for a month or two there in the middle of the season, and now it's starting to click. So I think there's more there on court than it is off court. I don't think there's some sort of like internal beef in that locker room, but it's pretty clear that there's some on-court chemistry that has emerged here that should make everybody kind of take a step back and look at the bigger picture.
Well, is John part of the problem? How much should we make of this stat that came out, or at least came to our attention last week or so, that John Wall actually walks on court more than any other player in the league? Now, the interesting part of that is some of the best players in our league are in the top 10. So it's not unusual, I guess, for superstars to maybe conserve their energy at times.
Dirk walks more. I'll defend John.
Dirk
was second, and Dirk's 100.
Damn.
But what do you make of that? Is that just kind of a silly, made-for-media sort of thing to goof on, or is there something to something like that?
No, it's not something that's just like a media creation. I mean, John, look, he has been phenomenal. You guys know he's been phenomenal in this city and basically brought the team back from, like, the dark ages of the Gilbert Arenas era. But he coming off signing that $170 million extension this summer, he came back and had probably the worst season he's had in 5 years. And part of that is the injury. And I think that's where the walking up and down the court thing comes. And he's the most immobile player in the NBA, or most immobile this side of Dirk Nowitzki. But I also think there are bigger issues with him. I mean, he has never paid close enough attention to defense. He doesn't do some of the little things that separate good teams from great teams. And all year the Wizards have struggled and played to the level of their competition. And that's something that Wall has done. Against great teams, he shows up and he tends to underestimate some of the crappier teams out there. And he sets the tone for the team. And so I think as a leader, hopefully he's going to sort of take this season as a wake-up call and as an opportunity to get better, because there's definitely some room for improvement there.
So, Andrew, getting back to kind of the league-wide discussion, specifically with the Eastern Conference, either Boston or Toronto will win the East. Apparently a really good game last night. And
I
Toronto
wouldn't count
got
out Cleveland. Got LeBron.
All right. Well, I'm going to count out Cleveland just based on what I've seen in the last month and a half. Now, this, and I don't get it, Andrew. This is a team that won 17 out of 18 games at one point this year. 17 out of 18. And now they can't beat anybody. They scored 9 points in the fourth quarter last night. No one's happy. How can they right the ship? I'm not sure they can.
Man, the Cavs have been incredible. It is pretty wild to watch how dark it's gotten out there. I think there are a couple things going on. Number one, the Isaiah Thomas situation has not worked. There's no chemistry on offense, and defensively he has been really rough. The other problem is that the roster is full of older guys that LeBron wanted because they would give them an opportunity to win now. But at the same time, it turns out that when half your roster is over 30, it's hard to play defense because all those guys are a step or two slow athletically. But I think the biggest issue is really that most of the team kind of assumes that LeBron is leaving, and that's starting to take its toll on like just how guys approach every game. And you can see like the whole team just looks exhausted. So I'm with you. I mean, they're going to be involved in a dozen different trade rumors over the next 36 hours, and there are a lot of different directions they can go, but I'm not sure there's anything that's going to fix what's wrong there. Maybe shipping Isaiah Thomas out could help sort of fix some of the chemistry, but there are a lot of issues, and Kevin Love is out now, and it's not looking great. And I think if you would ask someone, like you said, they won 17 out of 18 a couple months ago. And if you would ask someone in the middle of that whether like this scenario was possible, I think everybody would have thought you were crazy. But they blew a 20-point lead to the Magic last night. So it's like every couple of days there's a new low.
All right, Andrew, appreciate the time. It's Andrew Sharp, covers the NBA for Sports Illustrated. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks,
pal.
Andrew.
Yes, sir. Talk to you guys soon.
All right, buddy. Yeah.
Great
See
stuff.
You.
Like him. He's a DC
guy,
too.
Yeah, I actually like him.
If I was Tyronn Lue, I would just go back to that 17 out of 18 game when he was say, what was my starting lineup then? And go back to it.
He's
a lot of those wins were when they had Jose Calderon.
He's surrounded by a lot of older.
Isaiah Thomas wasn't healthy yet, and
correct.
Kevin Love was. So.
Yep.
He's got Dwayne Wade. He's got a broken down Derrick Rose there.
I wonder if they would trade IT.
Maybe if it's absolutely not working.
I mean, his standard line score, Eric, I know you don't pay as much attention, but his standard line score is 3 for 13.
And that's so weird. I mean, he's shooting. I think he's such a monster.
I don't know. Valleys have to check. I think he's shooting like 33, 34%.
Is he claiming that he's healthy?
Brutal.
I mean, he's going out there playing every night.
He's working his way back into it. He looks fine, man, but I think their larger problem is defensively.
Oh,
when
that's
you watch
definitely
them
a problem.
On
yeah.
TV and they break it down.
They're just getting shredded.
And he's part of that.
Guys don't look like they're covering guys. They don't care.
I mean, if you would have watched the second half of that game last night, they were quitting on plays. Just yep. quitting. Did you right. saw it? They were just quitting.
Coming up next, Game Show Wednesday. Going to give you a chance to win some tickets to go see Dave Matthews Band at Jiffy Lube Live. We also have great prizes for Valentine's Day for dudes who want to hook up their wives, their girlfriends. We have $50 gift certificates to Pro Flowers and Sherry's Berries. You can call in now at 800-636-1067.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.